As you probably remember, hopefully, I've been preaching a series of sermons on our Christian walk. We follow Jesus as Christians. We walk the walk. Jesus goes before us. We follow him along. And we're going to look at another aspect of that this morning for a few minutes, based on the scripture from Colossians 1, 9 through 12. If you want to turn to that, and I'll read that in just a moment. Everybody find Colossians. I'll begin reading. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord, that you may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of God. The scripture passage in Colossians is actually a prayer by the Apostle Paul for the Colossian Christians. But I don't think he would mind one bit if we sort of apply it to us as well. In this prayer, Paul is dealing with the subject I've been talking to you about for several Sundays, namely our Christian walk, or how we should live as Christians. He says that we should walk or live worthy of the Lord. Let's think together for a little bit here about what that means to us. We're simply going to take this scripture and sort of outline each part and make a comment or two about each one. Paul begins by praying that we would all be filled with knowledge, with a knowledge and understanding of God's will. That's where it all begins, isn't it? That's what we all want to know. We want to know, what is God's will? And what is it specifically for me? That's the place where we begin. We desire not only to know God's will, but to do it. In this matter, Jesus is our example, because we remember how he prayed in the garden prior to his crucifixion. He asked the Father that if it was possible to let him bypass the cross. But he also added to that, nevertheless, not my will, that is not Jesus' will, but yours be done, God's will be done. And we know how that worked out in his life. Jesus willingly went to the cross to be the perfect sacrifice for us, so that we don't have to be. And he did it all for you and for me. Jesus knew what God's will was, and he also knew what it was going to cost. And it wouldn't be too surprising to us if he was a little bit reluctant to go through that, because it was going to be an ordeal. It was going to be a terrible thing. But at the bottom line was, Jesus was willing to do it. That's the real test for all of us. Do we know what God's will is? Have we even bothered to try to find out? Have we asked him, what is it that you desire for me? What is your will for my life? And are we willing to yield our will to his? Once we find out. Because sometimes it requires some changes, doesn't it? It requires us to bend our will to conform to his will. And that's not always easy. So God wants us to know what his will for us is. And Paul says, when we do that, when we go through this process of not just going through life, living all the time, not thinking about God, not giving any thought whatsoever to what he might want for us, or what he has in store for us, or what His will is for us, and then living our life apart from Him. Then when we do that, when we actually ask Him to help us understand His will and to do it, it pleases Him. That's what Paul says. Do you want to please the Lord? Do you want to live a life that is pleasing to Him? Then that's the way we do it. We live according to His will for us. You see, God's will for you might be different from His will for me. In some ways, may not be exactly the same. But the important thing is that we stop and we ask and we listen and we try to determine what He wants to do in our lives. The second step, according to Paul, is to bear fruit. To bear fruit in every good work. That is also something we should all want to see happening in our lives. We want to live a life that is worthwhile, don't we? We want to live a life that is fruitful in the sense that we're doing something good. We're doing something to make the world a better place. We're doing something to help in the church, whatever. We're doing something worthwhile. To begin with, bearing fruit in our lives is a relational thing. If we look at the Gospel of John, chapter 15, or the analogy of the vine and the branches, we see that bearing fruit is an outgrowth of our relationship with Jesus. According to this passage, the closer that relationship is, the more fruit we will bear. So our first priority is to abide in Jesus, or to do all that we can do to be and remain as close to Him as possible. If we do that, we will bear fruit. Now, there are at least two types of fruit we ought to be bearing in our lives. First, we should be growing in the fruit of the Spirit. Or to put it another way, we should become more like Jesus all the time. That's what the Holy Spirit is given. One of the reasons why the Holy Spirit is given to us, isn't He? He comes to live in our hearts. And what He does is He changes us. He transforms us. He makes us more and more like Jesus all the time. Excuse me, I'm having a little throat stuff here. This is not something we orchestrate in our lives. It is the work of the Holy Spirit. It is something that He does in us. Now, we have to cooperate with Him. We have to allow Him to work. We have to follow what He tells us to do in our lives to be able to change and to be transformed, to become more like Jesus. But He is the one that's in charge of this type of fruit. The more we allow the Holy Spirit to have control in our lives, the more of this type of fruit He will bear in us. We will find that we are becoming more like Jesus, and the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, all of those characteristics that we see in Jesus, that we see in His life, we will see springing up in our lives and growing in us. And that's a wonderful thing, to know that we're becoming more like Him, more like Jesus, all the time. The second type of fruit is what is sometimes called good works. It simply means that we allow God to work through us. Our lives are sort of like a conduit through which God works in order to reach out, touch other people's lives, and help other people. We do not do good works in order to be saved, do we? We know that we are saved by grace through faith. It is the gift of God. It is not of ourselves. We don't save ourselves. God saves us. But we do works because we are saved. And that is one of the marks of salvation in our lives. Because we want to think about other people. We want to think about other people's needs. We want to reach out and touch other people with the love of God, with the grace of God. We want to be able to have the compassion in our hearts to see and to follow through by helping other people in some way or another. We all have people in our sphere of influence that need to hear the good news, that need to hear about Jesus, that need to hear the gospel. That's what the gospel is, good news. We all know people, don't we? And we have maybe relatives, maybe friends, maybe fellow workers, maybe people even that go to church with us that need to come to the Lord and give their lives to Him. And this is one thing that we can do as Christians. This is one of the works that Jesus wants us to think about accomplishing in our lives, that we would be willing to be used by Him. Remember in Isaiah's life when he came into the temple that day and had that tremendous experience of the presence of God. The temple was filled with the presence of God. The glory of the Lord was manifested to him. And out of that tremendous spiritual experience, he didn't just go home and say, well, that was good. I really enjoyed that. That was a good church service. But when the call came, he answered the call. When God said, who will go for us? Who can we send? He said, here am I. Send me. That's all that God is asking. He wants us to be willing to be used by Him whenever we have an opportunity. And it's not something that we have to do on our own, which is also good news. We don't have to accomplish that by ourselves. He helps us. He simply wants us to be willing to do what we can do whenever we can. And if our hearts are filled with the love of God, if our hearts are full of His love, that won't be a hard thing to do. It won't be something we have to sit around and think about for a long, long time. But it will be something that we spontaneously do as we see a person maybe that has a need. The next step in living worthy of the Lord is to grow in the knowledge of God. Now, this simply means that we want to get to know more and more about our Heavenly Father. I believe that our Heavenly Father wants us to know Him. He wants us to know Him. Know who He is. Really, who He is. Not our ideas about Him, but He wants to reveal Himself to us so that we know who He is. He's made that possible by the way He has revealed Himself to us. Now that word revealed simply means to uncover something that was previously hidden. God has chosen to reveal Himself to us. If He didn't want us to know Him, believe me, we wouldn't know Him. But He wants us to know Him, so He has uncovered Himself so that we can see who He is. So we can really get to know Him on a personal basis. Now, God has revealed Himself to us in basically three ways. Through His Word, through the Word that He has given to us, through His works, the creation, and all of the works of God, and through His Son, Jesus. There are other ways, of course, but those are the three main ways that He reveals Himself to us. And we can know Him in that way. We can understand God. We can understand who He is. Not the distorted views that some people have of God. Have you ever seen something bad happen and then hear people talk about it afterwards and say, why would God do such a thing? I thought God was love. I thought God would never hurt anybody. Well, obviously they have a distorted view of the nature of God, of who He really is, of His character, what He's like, how He works. He really wants us to get to know Him as He really is. Maybe you have had experiences in your life where you begin to wonder, what is God doing? Why is He treating me this way? Why am I going through this? I'm sure we've all had questions like that. But it's important for us to know Him as He really has shown Himself to be. And more than anything, remember this, God wants to have a personal relationship with each one of us. That's why He created us. That's why He put us here. Because He wants to have a relationship with us. And He's gone to great lengths to make that possible through His Son Jesus. And all of us can do that. We can have that relationship. Another step in living worthy of the Lord, according to Paul, is to be strengthened with all power according to His glorious might. We remember Jesus' promise to His disciples prior to the day of Pentecost. He said, you will receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will then be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the whole world. Interesting to me that Jesus didn't say, now get out there and hustle. Get out there and do what you can. And don't just sit around here in the upper room. Get out there and work. Get out there and witness. Get out there and labor for me. He didn't say that. In fact, He said, don't do anything until after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And sometimes we fail because we fail to utilize the power that's available to us, I believe. The same power that Paul talks about. It is God's power, which is unlimited and inexhaustible. It is the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. And it's available to us today to help us to live the Christian life. I'm going to say this, and I believe it is true. I don't believe anybody can live the Christian life successfully in their own strength and ability alone. I believe we all need that help. And I believe God wants to give it to us. And I believe it's available to us. I believe God wants us to live in an awareness that the power that is available to us will strengthen us so that we may have the endurance and the patience to follow Jesus. And it takes that. We need that power to strengthen us so that we can keep on going in spite of everything that comes against us. And there will be things. And sometimes we get weary. Sometimes we just want to sit down and quit. But this power comes into our lives and lifts us up and strengthens us and helps us and causes us to want to go on. In spite of everything that comes against us, we can continue to go on. We also need to wait patiently for the answers to prayer and to the coming of our Lord. It's so encouraging to know that we don't have to fight these battles by ourselves. The battles that we fight in our life can only be won with the strength that God provides. When we step out in faith to witness or to serve, God's enabling power is available to help us. I've felt that strength in my life at times, and I'm sure you have too. And you just know that it's not you alone. You know that God is helping you. As the church, if we really believed and availed ourselves of God's power, what would we be able to accomplish? What would we be able to do? I want to see greater things happening in this new year, don't you? Greater things that God has promised and God will do if we believe and pray that way. Finally, the last step in living a life that's worthy of the Lord is giving thanks to the Father. Paul says, giving thanks. There are many scriptures in the Bible that emphasize the theme of thanksgiving or thankfulness. Here's a little tip for you. It's a key to what is called hermeneutics, which is just study of interpretation of the Bible. Think about it from this standpoint. Someone taught me this years ago. When we look through the Bible, we see many themes: love, grace, faith, etc. From God's perspective now, there are subjects that are dealt with more extensively than others. Now, why is that? Could it possibly be that some things are more important to God than others? And in His Word, He covers the things more that are more important to Him, such as love. Very important. You find many references in the Bible. Some other things you find maybe only one or two references. So, if it's more important to God, then shouldn't it be more important to us as well? If it's something that He says, this is very important to me, then it should be important to us as well. Well, I said that to say that from the standpoint of the amount of coverage given in the Bible to a subject, thanksgiving is covered a great deal. So it must be very important to God. For us to be thankful, to have a thankful attitude, I think it is very important to the Lord. Carol and I were watching a video of a family having Christmas. And when a little boy received a certain present, he opened it and he threw it across the room and uttered an expletive, which I will not repeat, and made it known that he didn't like the present and he didn't want it. Now, Carol and I said to each other, if it was us, we would take the rest of the presents away and say, that's it for you. Why? Because he was ungrateful. We don't like to see ungrateful children, do we? Or even ungrateful people, adults. And listen, neither does the Lord. He wants to see gratitude in us. He wants to see us being thankful. And He is probably like us in the sense that when we see someone who is truly thankful, we just want to give them more. But when we see someone who is unthankful or ungrateful, we just want to take away what they have. You know, it really isn't so much about our thankfulness, how it affects our Heavenly Father. No, it really has more to do with the way it affects us. My friends, we need to be thankful. We need to have an attitude of gratitude. I was reading something recently by a well-known writer who said part of her everyday routine, when she gets up in the morning and she studies her Bible, is to think of at least 5 things each day for which she is thankful. Every day, 5 things for which she is thankful. In some cases, it would be being thankful to other people. Something like that would help us all cultivate an attitude of thankfulness. I believe doing something like that would have a positive effect on our thinking and on our behavior. So let's be thankful. Let's be thankful. It pleases the Lord when we show thanks, when we give thanks. Well, there's quite a bit involved in walking or living worthy of the Lord, isn't there? Something for us all to think about. Is it easy? No. Is it possible? Yes, it is. Jesus did it. The Apostle Paul did it. And many other Christians along the way have done it. And we can do it too. With God's help, we can live a life that is worthy of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank you for giving us our lives. Help us to live. Help us to walk in a way that glorifies you each and every day. In Jesus' name, amen.